policy-driven board, and you thought that that could be accomplished by redefining the existing committees, making those committees more interactive, more policy-oriented to promote discussion about in-depth topics. One of the ways you suggested doing that was taking or combining some of the current functions of the finance and the engineering committees into a contract and procurement committee. A lot of the time in each of those committees, you really are just reviewing contracts. So if we combine those efforts, that could be one committee. And then combining the efforts of the audit, budget, and finance functions into one financial oversight committee, including evaluating debt strategy. There is also several suggestions to add committees that focus on different functional areas. For instance, one committee would be an administration / human resource committee to evaluate policies and implementation related to personnel, EEO, and diversity plans. Nearly all of you expressed interest in doing some sort of planning and or project assessment committee, and that's something that we've already discussed today. And the focus of that committee would be to evaluate major projects and emphasize the regional and environmental impact for those projects. And lastly, everyone mentioned that the customer service working group, that work was important enough to make it a standing committee. We should also note that there is an ongoing management audit. We expect to get the results of that audit at the end of March, and that information would also inform what other functional areas we need to focus on. There are also a couple of suggestions to create an executive committee, and that committee would be comprised of committee chairs to create consent agendas for the board meetings based on the committee recommendations. There was also a suggestion to add executive sessions after every meeting. And some of those sessions would be with just with the board members, of course, in compliance with the Open Meetings Act. And then some of the logistical changes you suggested, Chair Wolf already mentioned, you've seen some of them. We have fewer staff in the room. There were some suggestions to have smaller rooms to promote discussion, having different seating arrangements so that the board members can not only see but hear each other better. And then we've talked about some of these others, having shorter, more frequent meetings, and then also rotating the meeting sites to broaden public access. So that is the first step of our process, by getting your individual feedback. The next step is to do more benchmarking to see what other organizations are doing and seeing what the best practices are out there. We also discussed possibly having a special board meeting to discuss the organization so that you're all in the room discussing only this issue, and then establishing a timeline for implementation of the new committee. Is there anything that I left out, Chairwoman, that you'd like to add?
I'm disappointed there's not a thank you slide.
No, thank you. As board secretary, I'm ashamed that I did not put my thank you slide up there because I critique everyone else's presentation.
Thanks.
That was a great presentation.
It was a good process.
But you've been very, very helpful. But if there's something we've missed, let us know, and we're going to forge ahead.
Okay.
Thank you, Judy, for your work on this. Christy, did you want to comment?
No, I mean, I think that it was very helpful, and I think that the management audit that we're doing will help to inform ultimately kind of not only the structure of the organization, but how the board then aligns with the structure of the organization. But I thought it was very helpful. So. We'll continue to work on it.
The action item, which is also part of agenda item 2, is just to remind you that Trenise does pull out of every board meeting the things that we have asked to have action taken on, and she is tracking basically who asked it and when they asked it and what's happening on it, so we have an updated version, and as you know, in the minutes, those action items are put in bold type so that we are able to flag them. Just a minute. If we missed something that you had asked for, please about putting it on that list. And the only other additional item I have is just to ask Director Wisner to comment a little bit on the OAC's work group progress to date.
Okay. Based on tollway staff evaluation in tandem with Governor Green looking at the proposal for ExxonMobil. By ExxonMobil to assign their lease to 7-Eleven as opposed to their earlier submittal. We found this candidate to be well qualified, and before the end of the year, we issued a conditional approval for that proposed assignment. We are awaiting two or three pieces of paperwork in order to finalize that arrangement. ExxonMobil would hope to begin, the transition we anticipate will begin sometime in the spring if once we finalize that. As with regard to the OASIS working group report, we'd like to hold that until next meeting so that we can incorporate the final conclusion here of that arrangement as part of our report. So I think, again, I think the process has been valuable to us, both in terms of our posture in the first proposal a few months back, and also I think that we have a well-qualified candidate to assume that assigned piece.
Thank you. Any questions for Director Wiseman? And thank you for all your work on both and the other board members.
And I should clarify that, and I think most of us know that, lease is relative to the fuel and convenience store operations at the OASIS store.
Okay. Kristy, it's all yours.
Okay. We'll try to move through these as quickly as possible. Shauna is going to give a one-slide presentation update on Indiana violations. As I hope you will see, and I think that based on the numbers, we think that this specific issue is in large part behind us. Of course, we are, as you know, conducting an audit of our electronic tolling system generally. CGN has been contracted to help us with that, and Sean is overseeing that. So this issue will, of course, be revisited as we look at the function of our entire electronic tolling system. But Shauna, take it away.
Will do. Good morning, Director.
Good morning.
I promise to be as brief as possible, but let me see if I can advance this slide. Oh, there we are. So I am here to close the loop on the backlog of Indiana violations that you recall us working on with the customer service group starting last August. At that time, we had estimated that we had 116,000 license plates, and we ran an analysis at the beginning of January to see where we stood, kind of as a final count. We ultimately sent out 85,000 notices. That represents about 85,000 separate license plates, which is different than the 116,000. I'm sure that you recognize we had originally estimated. The difference is due to two things. The first part is we actually had a number of those violations age out of the system between the time that our customer service group decided to pursue the violations and the time that we actually were able to get the registered owner information from Indiana. It's pretty typical to have a several-week turnaround time frame, but these were older violations. So once we decided to go after the registered owner information, a group of them did age out. More interestingly, though, and this we did not expect as much, there was a large portion of these violations, just under 20%, that we couldn't get registered owner information for. We typically get almost all of the registered owner information that we request from every state, including our own. But in this case, we think the high number is probably due to the age of the violations in part, but also due to the original Indiana license plate type issue that was the root cause of this to begin with. So that accounts for the difference in the notices sent and the notices we had originally estimated. At this point, of all the notices we have sent out, only 1,400 remain to be fully closed. The rest of them have been closed to the tune of almost $5 million.
83,000 were closed? Over 83,000?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Super.
So we do hope to put this behind us. And as Kristy said, we're moving forward to do a system audit that is going to really help us pull out anything else that might look like this Indiana situation. But this has been, this has been a journey that we're now coming to a conclusion of this.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that this is obviously we collect a lot more revenue than we thought we would collect, which is good news. It also became, unfortunately, a great learning experience for the people on the committee and the staff. And we believe the executive directors really intervened with our computer company. A lot of fail safes have been now put into the system so that we wouldn't go 6 months, a year, 2 years without issuing the violation notices. So it's actually had, beyond the economic benefits, some real good operational benefits. So we appreciate everybody's efforts, and it obviously turned out a little better than we thought financially. We did get some bad press, but I guess $4.9 million makes up for a little bit of bad press. So we'll take it, but hopefully over the next couple of months, we'll be getting a little more recommendations on how we can look at our entire violations process, not just this Indiana situation. But the changes that have been put in place administratively really seem to be working. And we can't guarantee there won't be more problems like this, but now there's a lot less likelihood that that would occur.
And we really appreciate the input of the customer service group.
It was very helpful for the process. Obviously.
We earned our cash this month.
Yeah.
Dr. Towns, did you want to say something?
We should be getting, we should be able to brief the board in probably the April, at the April board meeting, we're targeting for the update on the results of the electronic tolling audit. We'll let you know if it's going to deviate from that, but that's our goal. So, Shauna is going to stay up there because, as you know from last month's meeting, the board approved through May 1st of this year the settlement guidelines. Now, this, as you will recall, was us trying to respond to an audit finding and putting on paper the guidelines that we were actually using on a day-to-day basis to come up with settlement with our customers in the violation process. At that time, it was requested to have a little bit more information on the settlement guidelines and the process. So Shauna is going to quickly go over that. And, of course, any questions that you have, please let us know. Director Morris was certainly very critical in leading this charge and wanting more information. And we've also added additional kind of common sense, real world language to our website to help explain to our customers what the settlement process is so that people understand it. So, Shauna, go ahead.
Thank you, Christy. So, there we are. So, this is an attempt to kind of break into plain language for all of us here, the settlement policy that we've talked through in the past. And I wanted to start here with this slide that appears both on our, this image that appears both on our website and in the customer service working group report that just kind of gives you the context of the notice framework again. So that first, each of the notices is indicated by a different color. In the green, you see the first notice, which people have 21 days to pay, a violator has 21 days to pay. The second notice is yellow. The violator has 14 days to pay it. Third notice there is red, 21 days to pay. Those first two notices just carry a $20 fine attached to each of those violations. Once you pass the due date of that second notice, an additional $50 fine gets added per violation to what you owe. So that's the context that we need to keep in mind when we talk about settlements. This slide shows, or attempts to show, I should say, the heart of that settlement framework that we've been talking about. And I tried to mirror the color scheme of that first image just to kind of help draw the parallels. So you will see also that there's a big difference between whether or not you're an iPass, iZoom, or EasyPass customer on driving on our system and receiving a violation notice. So let's look at that first group first. If you are if you're in an iPass group, you have a couple options to settle with the tollway. If you call us or visit us or email us during the time frame of that first and second notice, you can actually pay just the cash rate of the toll and no fine. And that's actually part of the iPass agreement that people sign when they get an iPass transponder and establish an account. If you don't pay by that second notice due date, then you can settle with us for the cash rate of the toll and sum of the fine. That sum is defined, the word sum is defined by a settlement table that we're going to see here in a couple of slides forward when we get into a little more detail. But basically we're saying, you didn't call us in time. We still expect the toll, and you have to pay at least some of the fine. You will notice something else here that didn't appear, a color that didn't appear on the original scheme on the first page, and that's this gray area down here at collection. This is one somebody has received all the notices and they end up at a collection agency. You'll also notice this text here where we talk about the IPAS group. It's floating between the before collections and at collections, and that's for a reason. It's because right now we bring people who are in the IPAS group back from collections if they indicate a willingness to settle with us according to our settlement tables and guidelines. We know that is not a leading practice. That is not how collections is supposed to work. It was put into place, I believe, when the Illinois drivers experienced a backlog. And we've kept it in place because we didn't want to change it in the midst of the Indiana situation and before the results of the audit. So we understand it's not a leading practice, and we will be closing that loophole. But I wanted you all to understand that that's how it works right now. If you're not in this IPAS group, and you're the kind of, if you're part of that group with a smaller percentage of our drivers, your options to settle are fewer. You don't have an option to get rid of your $20 fine at any point. However, if you pass that second notice due date, we will dismiss your $50 fine so long as you're not already at collections. If you're at collections by the point that you call us, your only option is to settle with the collection agencies. And the collection agencies will settle, and they do follow guidelines that I believe you all discussed relatively recently, within the last year at least, during an executive session. So that kind of demonstrates the heart of the settlement policy. Now, I'm going to go through a little more detail here that also was contained in that document last month. Some additional detail. If an account, if an IPAS account has a negative balance, you can't settle. You have to bring it into good standing. You have to have a positive balance that will allow you to pay the fines and the fees that you owe. If the license plate of the car that you received violation notice against is not in your IPAS account, it has to be added before we're willing to settle. And then the third one is, if a customer chooses to have a hearing and sound liable, there is no settlement option available to them. And the hearing officers don't have the authority to offer a settlement. They're really just saying, this was you and you violated, or this was not you. And we, so it's all of our customer service agents are expected to let a violator who calls or visits know that explicitly, so that they don't go to a hearing thinking that will help them get a settlement. Little more detail. This is the actual settlement table that I alluded to earlier when we say an IPAS customer, part of that group, can just pay some of the, all of the tolls and then some of the fines if they pass that second due date notice. And this is the table that defines what some means. And you can see that the least number of fines they would pay would be one $20 fine. In that first row, it says number of violating incidents, just between one and five, settlement amount, cash tolls, plus one $20 fine. Continuing on, the next couple of slides here are, I know it's small, I don't expect anybody to read it, I just wanted you to get a sense of it. You can go out to the website and look around if you want to see it more closely. But this is the information that was added to our website following our meeting last month about settlement guidelines, where we put into plain language, just as Christy said, what a settlement means and how we define it and how they can access it. And this is another same information, different web page within our site.
And it does suggest the need to simplify. I think this is great, and I'm glad that we did it, but it does show in a very graphic way how complicated it is.
I would concur. Other parts of the settlement guidelines, when you're talking about settlement guidelines for standard settlements, you have to talk about non-standard settlements as well, because they do happen. These have been called in the past hardships also, so I'm sure it rings a bell. What happens is a customer does have an opportunity to say, I want to settle, but not for what you're offering as your standard policy. They would have to submit a non-standard settlement application, which is now available via the website. A group of defined individuals, I think it's a couple of customer service managers, as well as a representative from the Attorney General, will review these applications. It typically happens once a week. And then if they grant a non-standard settlement, they have to obtain a certain number of approvals. So if it's below $7,500, the amount of that settlement, that group can approve it itself, the review group. If it goes above that, you have to collect additional signatures, kind of in the step process. Between $7,500 and $15,000, the chief business assistant would have to sign it. The next step, chief of finance, and so on and so forth. With a massive settlement, this would end up here at the board.
Which, by the way, this helps meet our audit finding, which was a very critical
yes.
part of that.
Right.
That's true. Non-standard settlements are evaluated based on a variety of considerations, the merits of our claim against the respondent, the amount that we think we can collect, the cost of pursuing further enforcement, the likelihood of collecting the full amount owed, and the burden of any judicial proceedings that might happen if we didn't go to a non-standard settlement. And finally, as part of those settlement guidelines, there's actually in there a brief description of our write-off policy. Now, write-offs are the opposite of settlements. They're not the same thing. They're actual opposites. A settlement is an agreement that you'll collect something and you'll close their violations. A write-off is an admission that you will never collect anything and that you have tried on multiple occasions always through a collection agency to collect, and you cannot get the money. Therefore, after these multiple attempts, the collection agency will return those specific violations to us, at which point we can bundle them and bring them to the board. And for those that are under $1,000, the board can approve them and they can be written off. For those that are over $1,000, the board can approve them, but they would also need Attorney General approval before they could be written off. Now, I actually think the most exciting part of this presentation is this slide. It's the one at the end, because it's the one where we start to look forward. And I think the work that the service group did really laid a lot of this groundwork. And the idea is that going forward, we want to come to you in February with a plan to make not only the settlement process, but really the violations process better. And we want to walk you through that plan. So that will include looking at the policies related to violations, looking at the processes. We know the processes can't be all that great since Indiana happened. To look at the technology environment, and to kind of put all of this on a timeline with milestones and everything else so that we can actually start to implement it and come to you with regular reports going forward about where we stand in that implementation process. Which concludes that presentation with no thank you slide. Many apologies.
Thank you.
Lesson learned.
Yeah, this is very valuable, and those of us on the committee obviously are intimately involved with this. I think there's a couple things we ought to start thinking about now when they're going to come back with. We actually lose money on about 40 to 50% of our violation notices because it costs us about $6 to $10 to send out the notices, and we can settle for as little as $2 or $3, let's say, on missed tolls if they're an iPass or ISO member.
We break even overall, but
we lose money on a lot of our iPass, iZoom customers. And so while the system is a neutral system, even though I was on the customer service committee, it might be that we either have to put in some kind of a charge so that we don't lose money on half of our notices, or we have to change the way we approach it. So we'll be looking at some fairly heavy-duty changes, which even if we approve them, could take a year or more to all be implemented. Because, again, going back to the philosophy that things ought to pay their way, we ought not to just be silly and spend $3, $4, $5, or $6 to collect the dollar toll of which they owe 50 cents anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, great point.
But I'd like to thank Shauna and Stan in absentia for the work they did over the last year on this, and even Andrew, who helped us early on. I think we're to a point now where we can really make some good policy decisions because of all the work that was done in this area.
I agree, but I think that it's a good foundation, all that work, and the audit will also be another good foundation for us. So. Thank you very much. Shauna is not going to go very far because she has one more presentation. I mentioned, I think, as we were going through the budget process, that I wanted to put in place some performance measurements that we could brief the board on quarterly to really give you a better sense, and many of you, I think, have talked about wanting a better sense of how the tollway is performing. We will be certainly doing that on the budget and revenue and financial side of our operation, but also around some key initiatives. I shared with you a much longer list of performance measures that I am going to be looking at on a monthly basis, just on very detailed level of our operation. I think for purposes of the board meetings and on a quarterly basis, we're going to be sharing performance measures that roll up into what I think are some key initiatives for us over the next year, and potentially next couple of years, depending on the initiative. Shauna and the rest of our chiefs have been working quite hard on this whole effort. Certainly another opportunity for you to take a look at what we're going to present today as some of the key initiatives and what you'll be seeing on a quarterly basis from us, you know, comparing it maybe to that larger list if you're interested in seeing other things. But I think we've captured what I would certainly see, and what from the feedback of the board certainly appears to have been identified as some of the key initiatives for us over the next couple, over the next year, certainly. So, Shauna, take it away.
My pleasure. So this presentation is divided into two parts. The first part is a little longer than the second part. The first part has to do with performance improvement initiatives, and the second part has to do with performance measures. And in both cases, we're trying to set the groundwork here for bringing to you on a quarterly basis our progress related to both. So we're starting here with the performance improvement section. Key objective: we want to track the success of the key initiatives over the course of this year. And we want to become better aligned with leading practices and tolling. We want to improve transparency and accountability, all the normal things. I'm sure you're asking, what are these initiatives? And that is indeed the most interesting part. There are five of them that we are proposing to come to you with status reports on a quarterly basis. And I'm going to talk through each of them, and then there are slides that follow that talk a little bit about how to go about them. The first one is establishing a customer campaign to keep IPAS accounts up to date. Right now, a lot of the violation notices that go out have to do with the fact that people change their addresses, they change their license plates, they add cars to their accounts, but they don't actually go into the account to make any of these changes. And if we could better educate our customers, and if we could even maybe better collaborate with our Secretary of State or a variety of things like that, we might be able to reduce the number of incidents where that happens. So that's the first initiative. The second one, evaluate and update the violations fines fee structures. I feel like we've talked about this a great deal. It's talked about in the customer service working group report, but the idea is that this group has indicated a desire to look again at the way that we group our fines together from the last, our violations together from the last 2 years, and the way that we escalate these fines, which are quite large. And to see if there might be a better way to do it that wouldn't impact our revenue in a negative way. The third one, establishing fleet account solutions. This has to do with the fact that all the fleets that drive on our system, the trucks, rental cars, I keep thinking cabs, not rental cars, they all receive notices just like we do as individuals. When they violate, and they find that, as you can imagine, annoying, and it probably costs us more money than it needs to. So we would like to establish some fleet solutions that would not only be a great customer service option for the numerous fleets that drive on our system, but would actually help our revenues and operations as well. fourth one there has to do with automated credit card expiration date updates. So another reason that people often receive violation notice on our system is because they're doing everything right, but they forgot to tell us that their credit card has expired and they got a new one and it has a new expiration date.
Or the same credit card number,
even though,
just the rolling date.
Right,
of the
it's
date.
the rolling date. There is a service that our banking partner provides that would allow us to update these rolling credit card expiration dates. It just requires a little bit of technology prep on our end and a little bit of testing to make this happen. And we think we might be able to bring down the number of violation notices related to this type of situation if we were able to put that into place. So that's going to be another one of the initiatives. And then finally, the fifth one, decreasing the average length of calls to the call center. Over the past several years, the average amount of time that each call is taking at the call center is increasing in this steady, linear fashion. And we think we can address that through a combination of technology and just some savvier practices. It'll take a little bit of evaluation. I feel like I should do a time check if we're really nervous because I don't know. Maybe we can get some feedback
now and see the rest of the slides go into a little more detail in each of these areas. You might not, many of you might not need it because we've discussed many of these repeatedly.
I don't think it would be the end of the world at this point to jump to slide 9, the overview. Okay. But if we want to come back to this, if you do create that formal committee or something, we can come back to this in more detail. Ones no one objected.
Okay. Does that sound okay?
I think everybody agrees.
Great.
Slide 9.
And not because we were nerds.
Onward and upward.
So on slide 9, that's the second part of this presentation. And this has to do with performance measures. This is coming to you every quarter with a more formal structure of providing you the financial performance measures that we think is important that as a board everybody kind of receive and consider at the same time. And same key objectives with one additional one, improving financial accountability. And the key measures that we would come to you with, and without boring you with the full breakdown right here, is really just the revenue and the cost divided into categories, showing the variance of actual to estimated. And then finally, just our next step. In both cases, we're putting together the plans and the framework for both improvements and measures this month. We're creating and tracking and working to implement these initiatives over the coming months. And in April, we will be coming to you with the first report. Again, no thank you slide.
More comment than a question. I think the framework that's been identified is a really good one and took a great deal of work, so anybody that was a part of it, thank you, because you know when this whole open road tolling and iPass went in, we were worried about getting it up and operating and not necessarily the detail of how to collect everything, and perhaps if we ever do it again we'll have this to start up with. But I think this is really important, and I think our customers and anyone that uses our system is going to appreciate having a framework that's easily understood and they understand the consequences of them not taking care of their responsibility as part of the business customer relationship. So I think it's really good.
And the intention is not to overburden the board with a lot of minutiae. I think it's taking the important initiatives that the management team has agreed they're going to work on this year, even if all we do is just take 2 minutes at every quarterly board meeting for Christy and Shanna and whoever to give us an update on them. It's a way of everybody understanding where we are in progress towards the goals that we're looking at, and then once we can scratch some of these off, the next set of things that we're concerned about can take their place. And if you want to go back and look at that enormous list that was sent to you, if there are things on there that you think would be something for the next round, you should have that in your pocket for what happens after.
I think because that system was implemented earlier this past fiscal year, we were able to respond to the budget problems and make, I think at some point we actually reduced the budget two-thirds or a third of the, half the way into the year and able, ended the year with a balanced budget and able to go into this year with a balanced budget. So that information is helpful. And it allows the board to be actually informed and not caught off guard, you know, 6 or 8 months later.
Well, that's certainly our hope, and we'll, again, see how this process unfolds. It is a process, but I think I've very much appreciated the work of our senior staff and our chiefs and their, and frankly, enthusiasm, I think, for the performance measures, even the larger list. Although it can be tedious in the beginning to get it up and going, it's certainly more helpful, I think, to all of us as managers to have those, you know, identifiable, you know, benchmarks of our progress. So appreciate it. Thank you, Shauna.
Thank
for
you
all
so much.
Presentation.
Thank you.
And I think there are two other quick things we ought to note, and that is just piggybacking on what Bill said, the allocation of resources when we get to the end of the year in terms of the budget can very much flow from the kinds of changes that have been made here. If we've gotten efficiencies or if we see places where a little bit more investment is going to get us much further along on some of these, we can do that. And then the second is Christy's evaluating her team of managers, this becomes part of the tool of doing that, so it's a more objective and outcome-based kind of evaluation.
A couple, now, quick things on my list, and then we can move on. Procurement communications, quickly, just wanted to update you. January 1st has come and gone. We now are all actively, hopefully, reporting any communications that are reportable according to the new guidelines. You will be, I'm sure, happy to know that the tollway on the Procurement Policy Board's website, there are 149 procurements that have been reported or conversations that have been reported, and the tollway is responsible for 120 of those reports. So we are in active compliance, I hope, with our reporting, maybe hyper-active compliance. But I think, frankly, as we move forward and see how, you know, the reports are coming, how other agencies are reporting, maybe we can also, you know, continue training and working with the, you know, powers that be at the Executive Ethics Commissions or other places to further refine our understanding of what is reportable versus not reportable. But we are working hard to comply with the reporting guidelines.
And we hope that Jim Wagner's in this loop, so he's observing what's being reported and can help us think about the right ways to do this.
Wanted to also address, and Mike Kelch will speak to this a little bit more specifically, we are ultimately received some information from the state retirement system that is going to impact our budget allocation for, you know, the employer contribution for the retirement system. So Mike, do you want to speak to that quickly?
Sure. It was just a month ago where we went through the financial plan, and one of the drivers of the costs for the last 10 years was increases in the retirement contributions. I think I made the perceptive remark that we wouldn't expect that to continue, and that lasted about 3 weeks. Early January,
I
received
notice. I did not agree with that. Yes.
For the record, Chris.
For the record.
Well, he only meant for 3 weeks.
Okay, I
wouldn't be for the next 3 weeks.
There we go.
In early January, we received notice from the state employee retirement system that effective July 1, the certified retirement rate for our contribution, the employer contribution, would go from 31% to 35%. I did speak to staff at the state employees retirement system, and they indicated that that was largely a combination of two factors. One, a revision in the actuarial assumption they have for their investment return to reduce that assumed return, as well as their kind of conservative assumption about what the state might contribute from GRF during 2011. There was a bond issue that was pending that hadn't been approved yet, and they made the assumption that that bond issue wouldn't happen. That may happen by the end of this year, and there's a possibility that this rate could again be revised downward as a result of that. But for now, we're planning on the 35% rate, and we're looking at areas where we can pare back to accommodate that change.
How much is that, it's dollar-wise?
It's about $2 million.
More than we expected.
And it's for half the year. First of July?
Effective July 1.
Right.
So assuming the same rate, obviously it will be a full year's contribution.
Now, the state is preparing in the next 2 weeks to sell that bond.
That could impact, I understand, about 1%, so 35 down to 34, so that won't take away much difference.
I mean, it will make some difference, but we'll still have to come up with more than I think we anticipated. But we'll continue to manage that and let you know how that ultimately turns out. You should all also have a master list, and it is an ongoing, a work in progress, but a master list for the upcoming year of, you know, major procurements or board presentations that you can be expecting in the different months. Again, this is an ongoing list. Denise has done an excellent job of pulling this together, and we're really trying to map out and plan out as much for our staff as anything, frankly, where we see the presentations and how we see the board meetings shaping up and what you can expect to see at them or get at them as we move forward. Now, obviously, on a month-by-month basis, there will be things that come up that will need to be dealt with, but I think that this helps to set some expectations, and if you don't see something on this list that you are interested in, or if maybe the titles sometimes are not as clear about what it's going to be about, please let us know. We'll try to continue to work on this, but she's done an excellent job, I think, of trying to create a roadmap for the next year so that, frankly, as much as anything, the management here isn't running around frantically trying to prepare for the board meetings, but we all know what to expect, and you know what to expect. So thank you very much for all of your work on that, as well as the other things that we've seen today.
And I think as we are thinking about reorganizing the board, we'll use this as a reference point, too, because how much of this should be done in committee as opposed to the full boards in terms of the presentation and discussion and then come to the board on the consent agenda. Obviously, any committee would be open to all board members, but when you look at some of these, it's clear there would be a lot of presentations in a certain month just driven by when the contracts expire and that kind of thing. So we just need to think about how you even out the workload across the committees and the boards.
So that, I think, does it for my list. It was a long list, but I appreciate, I think, some very good discussion on many of these presentations and items, and I hope that, I know that our team has worked very hard to try to be, you know, clear in the information that we're presenting, and we'll continue to do so, but we hope that there's, that you can have a sense of the work that's gone into some of these initiatives from the presentations we've given. So.
It's very impressive. Yeah. Thanks. We have another place on the agenda for public comment. I believe there's been nobody who has snuck in who has been interested in making public comment since I called for it before. So we'll move right away to the consent agenda. That's okay. Let's start with information technology. May I hear a motion for the first two items?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Finance? Motion for the first?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's approved. Procurement?
Madam Chair, if I might.
Yes.
This is the bag we talked about earlier on procurement, which was an issue on the double-sided bag, and it is barcoded, which I wasn't aware of at the time, so that once it's sealed, it's barcoded to the employee's identification card, and so therefore we have a good track and can reduce the losses in that process. So I just want to bring that up because we talked about that earlier. And hopefully, Christy, one of these times, maybe we can set time to do a tour of the money room.
Sure.
For both board members who are interested and maybe the media to see how that works.
Thank you. So may I hear a motion on items 1 through 13?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? And on engineering, we'll do 1 and 2.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? And then Director Towns will recuse himself on 3. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That's approved. And then items 4 through 7?
So moved. Approved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. And under legal, items 1 through 3?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. We've gotten much better at that. I've gotten much better at that. Thank you for your patience. Unfinished business, is there anything? Any new business? Okay, hearing none, what we want to do is a motion to go into executive session.
Yes, Madam Chair, there's a request for executive session pursuant to 2C1, 2C2, and 2C11 to discuss personnel, collective bargaining, and litigation.
Okay. May I hear a motion?
Make a motion to move into executive session.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're going to...